You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Empire.
Hello and welcome to my podcast. Do me a favor, subscribe to the John Comey Report. Wherever you get your podcast, you're watching on YouTube, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. You can find us there as part of Empire Media. That's A-M-P-I-R-E. Always much appreciated when you tune in, and you can read my work on ESPN.com. And if you want to become a club member, you can see, you go to the Empire Media YouTube page, hit see the word join, click on that, find your club level membership you're comfortable with, and go from there. For you gold members, I'm going to be doing a private Zoom on Wednesday night, 7:30 Eastern time. Again, that's the private Zoom for the gold members, which will then be available later for the rest of the members. Anyway, for everybody else, let's get going. Let's talk about Austin Eckler and Cleveland Farrell. And before I get there, and I want to go into, I found some things. We actually talked to the several of the free agent signings on Monday afternoon, took most of the day. But I found some things very interesting, what they talked about. And I wanted to relate some of that to you, but also for Eckler in particular. And there's two things with Eckler, just some of the stuff that he went through that I think that makes him an interesting guy here. And then Farrell, why he's important here. So, but let's start with Michael Davis, another corner they signed that we found out about Monday morning, and it gives them another guy. He gives them a corner with starting experience. They needed that. And, you know, at 6'2", about almost 200 pounds, he has good size to play in this system. I think that's also necessary. There's also the familiarity factor. Tom Donatell was his coach out in San Diego, out with the Chargers in Los Angeles the last 4 years. So certainly knows him very well. Davis struggled a little, had a good 2022, did not play as well in 23. So, but that's part of the reason why the Chargers, I think, let him walk. But the other part is they certainly had some money or some cap issues. So that was another factor. But Washington's getting a guy with experience. He came off the bench a couple times last year. So I think he was benched. And so, you know, again, a guy with starting experience. To me, I would not stop searching for a cornerback. They don't have that one guy that you can count and say, this is the guy. Now, I think Benjamin St. Juste can play much better than what he did last year. I think this is where coaching is really going to make a difference. Emmanuel Forbes, yes, coaching can help. I think he's got to decide what he wants to do and the work that he wants to do to fix his own game. So, and that a lot of it's going to go back to technique. That's just putting in the work. That's going to be a lot on him. And then the coaches can help with that, right? So, but we don't know where he's going to go. And they also signed another guy from Dallas over the weekend, Noah Igbunogune. And so I want to make sure I pronounce that right. So he's more of a depth signing. So they still need some help there. And this is where the signings help with the draft, because you don't have to go jump. You don't have to force a cornerback in the early rounds. Now you take the guy you want, but I would definitely still take a corner just to get another guy there. I don't know what they truly think of Emmanuel Forbes and what he might be able to do. I know clearly Donatell would have scouted him last year. So would have Quinn. So would Joe Witt. But I don't know what they really think of him to know what they want to do there, what they think they can make of him. So that's why I say I'd still go get another guy, because you don't know. And Davis is only on 1 year deal. I would want somebody else who can go play and make sure, because you need, it's a position you always need help. Anyway, that aside, let's get to some of the things with Austin Eckler that I found pretty interesting when we talked to him today. And I want to share that with you. So a couple of things he mentioned. One, coming here to be part of a tandem with Brian Robinson. That's important for a guy who, I think at this stage of his career, he's really well suited to be just a third down back. You know, what does he have left? But I think if you want to maximize him, you want him to handle that role with Brian Robinson and even with Chris Rodriguez. I think Rodriguez can be a solid number two behind Robinson as far as a between the tackles back. And I think they both can catch the ball. And I think these coaches are going to be a little bit surprised at what Robinson, I think, can do in the pass game as a pass catcher out of the backfield. I just think when you're third down back, there's so many more things that go into it, picking up blitzes, et cetera, that's where you like to have the experience. But one of the things Eckler talked about when he was in San Diego and LA, that he was with Melvin Gordon for 3 years. And one of his years, he had the third year with Gordon. And he talked about that he felt he had some of his better years. Now, he had a combined, 38 touchdowns in, a couple years ago in two back-to-back years. So he had some pretty good years outside of that. But with Gordon, he had 1 year where he had 92 receptions and averaged a career high 10.8 yards per catch. And so he's viewing this as another situation to get into a good tandem with someone else in Brian Robinson. I think that can help him. And, now he, in that 1 year, he had 92 catches is too many for a running back if you want to have that kind of an explosive offense. But it shows what he feels he can do as a third down back. He did have 8 touchdown catches that year as well. I don't think you want him to catch that many passes. I think you get to that 50 range for this team, that would be pretty good. And if he can do that and be productive in that, that would be good. So the other thing I asked him in our press conference, what he felt like he still could add. And I think one of the things that I found interesting is first of all, the confidence in him, but here's what he had to say. I'm going to play this clip for you and you can see what he has to say, and then we'll discuss it afterwards. And what do you feel you add as a player?
Wow. a lot. It depends on what you're asking about. I'll give you a couple off the top, though. Just as far as a playmaker, I'm going to score some touchdowns for you, that's for sure, if you can get me in the red zone and find a way to get me in the ball in some space. As far as a leader, I'm going to bring some energy. You're going to hear me at practice. You can hear me in the locker room. You can hear me talk to the young guys. You can hear me bringing people along. You're going to find me in the weight room all the time. And also pushing people in there as well. And really, I really take pride in helping people be the best version of themselves, but starting with myself first. And so that's what you're going to get when you have me on the team.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Trades, free agents, quarterbacks, and all kinds of adventures await the Commanders this offseason. Looking for an adventure of your own? The Adventure Park at Sandy Spring has you covered. The country's largest ropes course and zipline park, located in Montgomery County, Maryland, is now open. Named Best Amusement Park and Climbing Destination in the DMV 2 years in a row, the Adventure Park at Sandy Spring is perfect for birthdays, corporate outings, groups, and families. With challenges anywhere from beginner to expert, there is something for all skill levels. Anytime you're thinking about reaching new heights, make sure you know before you go. The Adventure Park at Sandy Spring is the only ACCT accredited park in Maryland or Virginia. Staying on the ground, give axe throwing a try. You can throw at traditional targets or play any number of interactive games. You can even upload your own image. So there you have it, folks. Climbing, ziplining, axes, food, and bonfires right in your backyard. Reserve your adventure today at www.theadventurepark.com/kine. That's www.theadventurepark.com/kind. So what you can tell is he remains a very competent player. And he talked about himself still being a playmaker, getting the ball in space and being able to do things and creating things. And that's what these guys want to do. One of the things when Anthony Lynn interviewed for Washington's offensive coordinator position last year, one of the things that he talked about with Ron Rivera was just being able to create space for guys. That was one of the things that we thought Bieniemy was going to do, and it really didn't happen for whatever reason. But this is one of the things that I think that Lynn can bring with Eckler. Now, Lynn is not in charge of that aspect, but he can certainly have input in some of that. And so that, you know, I think sharing those ideas can maybe help create some situations for Eckler. The other thing that I found interesting too, when we talked to him, is when I went back and watched some of the film of him or watched some of his games, I wanted to go back and watch like, what can he still do? So I watched every target that he had, every catch that he made, and just to see where is his game. And, you know, there were times at the end of the year, you wonder like, where is that explosiveness? Is he really wasn't making the linebackers kind of, you know, he wasn't really fooling them with some of his moves. It didn't look like he had the same explosiveness. And then when you watched early in the year, what you did see is more of some of that explosion in the very early games. Now, one of the things that Eckler said on the conference call is that, and it's out there, he had a high ankle sprain last year. Those things can mess you up for a long time. And even if you're playing, you may not be the same. And he did say that he had another ankle sprain later in the year. Clearly is going to impact will impact what he can do with the ball in his hands or even on running some of his routes. So I'll be curious to see was it indeed that, or was it just a function of where he's at in his career, or was it the ankle sprain? Because if it is, then they got a guy that can still help him in that particular role. So but again, you saw it early in the year. You saw some of that. There was a 28 yard catch and run against Dallas. Yeah, it was against Dallas where you saw more good cutting, and there was a little bit. It was in the open field, but also some traffic around there where you had to cut a little bit, set a guy up, cut back inside, and he did that. And he had a 35 yard catch and run against Miami. Now that a lot of that was just open field, get it and go. So it was an example of that, but the Dallas one to me was, and later in there, you didn't see that kind of movement all the time. And so if it was the ankle, that would explain it. So I'll be curious to see if that indeed was the case, because if there's more left, then he can really help him in that role. Yet what you did see on some of those catches late in the year, and what he does do well, he knows how to turn up field. Now, sometimes that led to some drops because you might turn a little bit too early. So your focus is on turning up field. But I also saw it a lot of times where it got him 4 to 5 extra yards. And Curtis Samuel was pretty good at this too, but Eckler was good at this as well, where he knows where guys are. He knows where the leverage is and knows where to turn. Now the quarterback can help him by throwing it to where he needs to turn, but he also really focused hard on getting it upfield quickly as possible. That's where some of that veteran savvy comes into play. But I do, like I said, I think if that ankle is healthy and he's back to himself, that can really help these guys. The other thing he talked about too was the style of the offense. And I do know like he had a career low in terms of his yards per carry. And I talked about this after he signed, but they're asking him to run between the tackles, which is really not his game. And it's not what he's going to be asked to do here. So that's not what you're going to want to do with him. And the offensive line situation with the Chargers last year was not very good. So that also impacted some of that certainly as well. But he also said that the Chargers wanted to run a different style of offense. He told us that it was, you know, more downhill and they want to throw down the ball downfield more, and it didn't suit his game. So I think that's why he was another reason why he's looking forward to coming here to Washington to kind of get back to what he can be. And then, you know, it's the one thing too, that you would hear when you talk to some of these veterans, I think they understand what they're coming here to add. One of that is leadership in the room. Whether it's by example, whether it's however it is, but just showing guys, this is how you need to be. This is how you need to prepare, et cetera. Now, I think in a lot of cases, these guys have an idea of that. I mean, I don't think that was a huge issue all the time, but it's good to have a guy in each room that you can say, here's the leader in that room. Here's the leader in that room. I think that's, I don't think you always get that for sure here. And it's funny because it's one of the things with Bobby Wagner that you absolutely get. And I know some guys on defense have been hungering for that for a while. So I think that's one of the things that I think that's why Eckler to me maybe becomes a little bit more intriguing, just because if that was the case, then I'll be curious to see what he has and what he can do, because you didn't see it at the end of the year. You saw a guy who could help, but you didn't see the guy who was explosive. But you did see it early in the year. And when you see that early in the year and you don't see it later in the year to the same degree, you wonder why. And if it's the ankle, there you go.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Cleveland Farrell, he's an interesting guy. And I heard he was a really good guy out in San Francisco. So, in fact, our beat reporter, Nick Wagner, told me he was kind of jealous that he was coming to Washington because he enjoyed talking to him so much. And I can see why after we interviewed him today on Monday on Zoom. And he's an impressive speaker. You can see why he's a guy that you'd want in the room, right? I mean, he's a former top five pick, did not pan out as a pass rusher, certainly is a guy who can help the run. But he also understands what he is here to do. And he gave a couple of reasons as to why he signed here. One was Daryl Tapp, new defensive line coach. Obviously, he's worked with him. And then also Adam Peters, who knew him from obviously helped acquire him out in San Francisco. So one of the things that I found, I think that you would like, is that Sam Fortier from the Washington Post asked him, did they tell you what the expectations are for you here? What do you know? He said, I'm sorry, take that back. He asked what he expected his role to be. And Nick Allegretti said something very similar, but Farrell said that he doesn't expect anything. In fact, I'm going to read you some of what he said. If I can find it up here. And okay, he said, I don't expect anything. I think for me, the biggest thing, I'm going to earn everything I get. The biggest thing is I just want to be someone who sets the tone and sets a standard for the mentality of the team. He also said, I'm from this area. It's a very tough area where we, from this whole DMV, whether you're in DC, Maryland, or the northern part of Virginia, the people here have been waiting a long time for somebody to come and do it right. And I think me being homegrown, I had that same hunger. So there you go. And so he brings that. And I think that mentality is really good. You get enough guys that have that kind of mentality, it really kind of helps shape an identity. I'm staying away from the word culture, but it helps shape an identity for your program. And it helps set a standard for your program. And I think it also means something to him that he's from here. Well, he's from Richmond, but I mean, you're talking a couple hours away, obviously. And so I think that matters to him. And family is a big deal to him. So coming back to be able to play on the East Coast, major. He said his grandmother can now come up from Richmond to watch him play. He used to go to practices when this team trained in Richmond. He would go to some practices. He was there in after the 2012 season at the playoff game against Seattle where RG3 got hurt. And he just said that the atmosphere really inspired him. And that he said when it's going right, these fans will get behind you. So he understands the mentality of this area. And he's only on a 1-year deal, but he did say he wanted to come somewhere where he could be part of something that's building, and he got the right place because they've got to build. But that's part of the reason why he wanted to come here, and the Richmond aspect, because somebody asked him on the Zoom call, well, would you have done this before this year if you had the chance? And he said, yeah, he probably would have, because it means that much to him to be back in this area. So it's always good. You always want to get guys like that on your roster where it means something a little bit more to them. And, you know, I think that's a good thing too. And then we talked to Jamison Crowder as well, coming back. I've always enjoyed him. I think when he did prove last year that he can still be an effective returner, average around 8.8 yards per punt return, but also a guy who can help if needed in the slot. But one of the things that he said that has been echoed by a lot of the players that have come through here is some of the returners, like Effie Obada, said it too, but he talked about how the excitement maybe that's in the building because of the freshness of the, and the energy that's being provided by the changes this year. And every time you get, and some of the new guys coming in too have talked about maybe the vibe in the building when they're there. Now, the players aren't all there. This is just coaches. But, and anytime you have a new staff that comes in, you're always going to get a certain level of energy. But I think this is also, for a staff, this will probably be one of the more energetic staffs between like Dan Quinn, Joe Witt. I think a lot of these guys, Ken Norton, I think a lot of these guys are going to bring some of that energy on their own. Anthony Lynn. I think you have a lot of some good personalities there, which is going to lend itself toward some energy as well. But I think guys can feel that. And I said, whenever there's a new staff, you always get change brings freshness and et cetera. But I do think there's something a little bit different with this group that people are picking up on. See where it goes. Now, the other thing is, and I mentioned this a little bit earlier, is just what the veterans are coming here and they understand what they're here to do. Bobby Wagner knows he's here to be a leader in that, on that defense. You know, Farrell knows he has to do something in that room, be part of something in that room. And he's a disciplined guy, an effort guy. And I think that's something that they really, not that, I mean, there are definitely some defensive ends there. These guys weren't lacking in effort, but I think you get a guy who can play, who understands his job. I mean, that stuff really resonates with others. And I think it can lead to a lot of improvement when guys are just doing their job. That was a big mantra, as we know, last year, and it kind of fizzled because the jobs just weren't good enough, but guys weren't always doing their jobs. And so I think these veterans can help guys with that. If especially a guy like Wagner in particular, Zach Ertz, another guy that can help that particular room with what they need to do. And I would say, I don't think Logan Thomas was bad in that area either. So it's not like that was a massive issue, but that's something that Zach Ertz can bring. So they have guys in each room now that can do that, and big deal. So, but they still need guys. They still need to find a tackle. Again, cornerback, I'd still go get. I think you still want to get another receiver, whether it's draft, whether it's free agency. They do have cap room still. It's a little bit right now. The estimate is around 63, 64 million, but there are about five or six guys that haven't been registered on the cap yet. Like, I don't think Wagner's deal is not on there yet. Mariota's deal is not on there yet. So there are a few guys that they have to get on there to see the true value. And then you deduct around 9 or 10 for the rookie cap, but they still have room to do things. So anyway, that's it for me. I will be back on Wednesday with Herm Edwards talking about Jaden Daniels. You're going to want to hear this one, folks. He was pretty good, because Herm is good. There you go. I'll talk to you next time.